Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Public submissions regarding Auckland Council's annual plan from 2025-2026 are set to close tomorrow at 11:59pm, with the plan set to take place from the 1st of July. These submissions give the public the opportunity to provide feedback on proposals from the coming year. News and Editorial Director Joel spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about this and the Council's bed tax. They also spoke about the recent discussions regarding ensuring fair and equal representation in the upcoming 2025 local election.
Has there been any substantial community engagement with the Council's long-term financial plan?
Yeah, so actually the submissions on that close tomorrow. That's Friday the 28th at 11:59pm. Just before midnight for those who get PM and AM. And we've had a decent number of submissions for what's a pretty straightforward plan without sort of controversy, but we've also been running, every local board has run at least one event in the area where people can talk face-to-face to folks, and I've been to both the ones in my ward. And there's also been some specific work done by community partners to run events and encourage what's called a hearing style presentations from key stakeholders on Friday last week and then on Monday. And Monday in particular included a lot of Mana Whenua and Mata Awaka groups. So yeah, there's been a fair bit.
Auckland Council has been pushing the central government for a bed tax for a while. Why don't you think the proposal has taken shape yet?
Basically, there was an attempt to do it several budgets ago, before my time on the governing body, and it didn't go down very well with the sector, with the hotel sector, and they sued the council. And even though council won that case, it became very, very controversial. And so there was sort of a, uh-oh, this is a bit too hard, I think, for a while there. And this mechanism, that mechanism didn't require a law change from central government, but this mechanism does. And now I think we've got all the players aligned. By and large, people in the sector seem to be reasonably supportive. Central government's keen to support it. So I think this time it seems to be less controversial. And it's also directly tied to basically a tourism program specifically for Auckland, to promote Auckland, which the New Zealand stuff, you know, the national stuff doesn't do, and also specific events that we would bring to Auckland, which would boost hotel night stays and hospitality sector and tourism and that kind of stuff. So I think this time around it's less controversial.
Speaking more to tourism and Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland tourism operators have said that domestic tourism numbers are still lower than hoped despite the post-COVID international tourism revival. Are there any concerns that a bed tax or other fees imposed on tourists to fund Auckland Council's long-term plan may negatively impact these numbers?
The bed tax would be around 2-3% on the cost of your hotel room. And when you're spending, you know, $250 a night on a fancy hotel, I don't know, it's probably more than that, then that kind of slight increase really isn't a factor in people deciding whether or not to come to Auckland, I don't think. They're quite common overseas as well, so, you know, we're not making ourselves less competitive in that sense. I think some of the bigger barriers to people coming to New Zealand generally is people's concern about the emissions of coming this far. And that's an issue. And one of the specific problems we have for Auckland in particular is that people see this as the gateway to New Zealand and not necessarily somewhere that's a destination in its own right, somewhere to stay and enjoy. And so one of the things that we need to focus on as a city and a region is encouraging people to stay for, you know, 2-3 nights before they head to Rotorua or Queenstown or on their way back before they fly out, rather than just staying here for the shortest time possible before they head off to the stuff that's in the tourism ads, you know, the beautiful mountains and rivers and all of that stuff. We need them to recognise that Auckland is actually a really amazing, cool place to visit, and that we have lots of great things to enjoy here. So spend a few days here as well.
Councillor Desley Simpson wrote in favour of a bed tax that relying on rate payers alone is not a reliable, sustainable, long-term funding model. What are some other options beyond the bed tax that the Auckland Council have considered?
Well, we have been funding quite a bit of this from rates, and we've got to a point where the benefit is falling more to a sector who are at the moment not really paying more for it because there isn't, it's just in the general rates, right? And so the idea of this is that the sector can see that the payment is coming through them, it's on their room rate, and then they can also see the benefit coming back to them of these tourism programs and things like that. So we have been paying for it out of rates. Rates are really tightly, the call on rates, that's our OPEX, right, is really tight these days. And so the idea that we can actually make it more transparent is, I think, quite appealing.
Moving on to our next topic, you've been leading discussions and consultations around fair and equal representation for this year's elections. What have been some of the key positive outcomes of this process?
I think the main positive outcome for me is that we actually really only had two areas of controversy out of dozens of lines that we had to draw and small decisions that we had to make. We actually only had two bits that became controversial. And I think that when you consider the size of the issue, the fact it took us 2 years to work through it, we had to draw lines for 20 wards, 21 local boards, and then a whole bunch of subdivisions within them. We, in theory, could have changed the names of things. We could have proposed a change to the number of councillors and all sorts of stuff. And when it came to it, we only had two hotly contested lines. I think that's pretty good. And that shows that actually it was a pretty robust process that included the community quite well, I thought.
Auckland Council received nearly 2,500 submissions on these changes to improve representation. What were some of the general themes or ideas contributed by the public through this process?
Well, there was broad support for our initial proposal and then some specifics about the line between the Albany ward and the North Shore ward around, what would you call that, the Unsworth Heights area. And then also the line between the Orake ward and the Waitemataran Gulf ward around Grafton, Newmarket and Parnell. So a lot of it focused on those two areas and what people thought about whether the line was the right place. But then we also had a lot of feedback about the Rodney local board area because we actually redrew all of their boundaries within board area for their subdivision, so there was a lot of feedback specifically on whether we had those lines in the right place, and there was a lot of feedback in favour of some changes to the Howick local board, which added a subdivision and they now will have two more elected members to reflect their population growth as well. So those are sort of the four things that we got a lot of feedback about, but overall there was a lot of support for the general idea that we need 20 councillors, we need 21 local boards, and this is roughly where the line should be.
Decisions were made to prioritise communities of interest, resulting in some subdivisions not adhering to the ideal population-based ratio. Could you explain the rationale and potential impacts of these variances on fair representation?
So we have to balance the numbers, so making sure that each representative that's elected represents roughly the same number of people across the city. So the value of your vote is roughly the same. So if you're voting in Rodney and you're voting in Howick, you're going to have about the same level of representation. So we've got to do that, but then we've also got to make sure that when there are communities of interest, that we don't accidentally split them up and put them in two separate wards or local board areas or subdivisions, in a way that means that people within a same community, usually a suburb or a neighbourhood, are actually voting for different areas, so trying to keep people together. And one really good example of that was we had an area that looks on paper as if it's split by the motorway, but actually there's a number of strong links between across that suburb regardless of the motorway, which is relatively unusual. And so rather than drawing the line down the motorway, you draw the line around the suburb, because actually it is one suburb, one community that deserves to be able to vote together for the same representation.
The fairness of representation in local democracy extends to numerous concerns, which include lower voter turnout and disparity of access to local democratic processes for diverse communities. What are some of Auckland Council's priorities in the near future for improving representation of Auckland's population, specifically ahead of this election?
Yeah, so the link between voter turnout and the complexity of our system, that's potentially an issue, but that's something that kind of sits more with central government. For me, the big stuff is actually we need to prove our credibility and relevance to people. And, just a lot of people just don't necessarily realise that local government's in pretty much every part of your day, you know. You get a glass of water, that water is local government. You walk to the dairy, the footpath is local government. If you buy food at the dairy, the food permit is local government. We're everywhere, but people don't necessarily see that and don't necessarily understand that they can have a say in that. So for me, a lot of it is actually about telling that story again and again and again of actually this matters. And that's, I think, a really key thing for increasing voter turnout. But it's also, we also know that people vote when they have a connection to a candidate as well. So for us as elected members, being out and about more, being more in touch with our communities, that's going to make a difference too. And having a voter, having a group of elected members that more reflects the community as well. I mean, I look around the governing body table, and no offence to any of my colleagues, but we do not look like Auckland. We are predominantly white. Everybody owns their own home. We don't have any renters around the table. And I'm pretty good income, but even before this, most of us were on pretty good incomes, and we don't represent Auckland. And so for people being able to get more diverse candidates up, and that is also potentially going to increase turnout from those communities who feel underrepresented and feel like this is just not for me.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on submissions for Auckland Council's long-term plan, bed tax, and discussions around equity in the upcoming election.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.